I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Okay, I know it's like slightly too late seeing as it's our penultimate episode, but I put the intro on here so we can listen to it and introduce ourselves. Are you ready?
This is the Sound of Succession podcast with Jamie East and Chris Mandel, who's part of the Dragon Cast, a series where we talk about the best TV shows in the world. HBO, please don't sue us.
You know what to do, like and subscribe, ah, fuck off.
I can't believe no one's been in touch about any copyright violations.
Excuse me, I can't believe that no one's been in touch about an album.
Yeah, it's maybe one conversation with two parts. If you stop ripping off the theme tune, we'll give you an album.
We'll give you an album. Just give me a second series. Give me a second series.
It really does. It's quite a bracing tune, that, isn't it? It really grabs.
I saw something online. There was like a thing going, like, get just to kind of bait for people to quote tweet, and it was like, what's the theme tune that gets under your has really gone under your skin? Like, yeah. Magnum PI is a pretty good one. Cagney and Lacey and stuff. But I've got to say, I don't know. I'm fascinated by the pressure that must be on to sign off a theme tune like early doors before the first episode has even aired. It kind of feels as though, by rights, what you'd do is like you'd wait till you're a couple of series in before deciding, actually, that's the series. That's the theme tune. It shows how much the theme tune actually is part of the fabric of the show rather than just the theme tune. You know, it's like you take something like Sopranos is a good example, which was just a track by, oh my God, what were they called again?
Woke Up This Morning.
Not the Dead Presidents. What are they called? They're called, hold on a sec. Already typing, not even 2 seconds in. Alabama 3. It was just like a British-Irish kind of like funk, trip-hop, scally kind of band.
Yeah, yeah.
And yet they were like before the pilot had even aired. And you can't imagine The Sopranos having any other theme tune. I guess that's the point, isn't it?
It sounds like it, you could be forgiven for thinking it is a song that Tony has on in the car.
Yeah.
Like, it's so part of that world. The one I love is the Rembrandts, who did the Friends theme tune. They did the theme tune for the show.
Oh, okay.
And then they had to write the rest. You know, they released it afterwards and the cast are in the video and everything.
Yeah, yeah.
But I remember they had to come up with, second verse and, like, a bridge. And the rest of it is shite, but, like...
There's a rehearsal room in London, a very famous one called John Henry's. Mm-hmm. Which is just around the back of King's Cross. In fact, I think it's still there. It might be, they used to, it was there for ages. And my band rehearsed there, and we had to rehearse for like a big record company showcase thing. And the Rembrandts were in the next studio, the next one, the one next door. And for 9 hours, all they did was that song. We could just
How hard can it be to nail that song?
But maybe they were writing it. Maybe that's what they were doing. Maybe it would have been around that time.
Yeah, you've had quite a life. I look forward to doing your eulogy in a long, long time because we'll both live rich, full lives.
Yeah,
but it'd be so much to pull from.
Wow, I tell you what, me probably more than you, given my delicate age, and you're still there, like full of collagen and
just a young pup.
Exactly. We've all at some point, most people give a fleeting imaginary kind of like daydream about their funeral, right?
Yeah. But don't you find, I mean, I feel like our culture in the UK doesn't do these like rhapsodic monologues at people's funerals.
I kind of feel as though we should.
Yes. But I often see this in American shows, or maybe it's just TV shows generally, that someone just comes out with this like unspooling like thought process, and you're like, a lot of the ones I've been to, they're like in and out jobs. They're like 20 minutes.
Yeah.
No fucking around.
Right. Yeah.
Let's talk about this funeral because
I mean,
fuck, it was so good.
I mean, I texted you what, 2 days ago or 3 days ago. I just said, it's like obviously amazing, but it's like one of the nastiest.
Nasty.
And it did feel really nasty.
It felt nasty. Like I was expecting like it to be a bit more fireworky. Like I was expecting just thought if there was ever a time where the casket gets dropped and the body rolls out and it's just so like nakedly cruel. Yeah. It was going to be this show. And 100%. So I was sort of taken by, I mean, it's kind of has everything which I felt the last episode didn't have, which I thought was so cold and political that it lacked.
Yeah.
Up until, you know, the sort of final third, it really lacked some of the personal fireworks. This was just so clever. And
I mean, you're right. Hugely clever, because all of the plot just really focused towards the final episode next week, you know.
Yeah.
When you take a step back after having watched it, and we'll come to that at the end, but oh my God, I don't even know where to begin. I suppose, should we just start off by talking about Roman?
Yeah. Amazing, amazing acting.
I mean, why would you bother entering the Emmys after that?
I know. It's fascinating though, because it's sort of like, he's been so good all season. And it's just that shot. I mean, we start the episode with him reading his cue cards in his you know, condo, and he's like
weirdly small
around.
Condo, isn't it? That
thought in his walk-in closet there was all these like brown suits, and I was like, I've never seen him wear a brown suit before.
I do love a rich person's closet.
I know. I would love one of those. I'd love a walk-in closet. So the thing I thought was fascinating was, he's really like Johnny Big Balls at this point. Like he's like, Shiv's going to cry. Shiv's going to cry. Ken's going to die. Roman's going to light up the sky. Like the fact that he talks to himself like the way he talks in front of other people, I was like, oh my God, you really are like this all the time. So he thinks he's going to nail it. And if you hear the snippets of his eulogy, it's all just like stuff that you could get off his Wikipedia page. Like he was born and then he went here and...
It was crap. It was a really, really... It was going to be a bad speech.
Yeah.
You know, it was...
And none of his charm. And I feel like... So do you think Roman's... Like actually doesn't have any, he doesn't have any nice memories of his dad, or he's not even able to bullshit.
No, and I think, I mean, it's just such a brilliant, and the long game with, ever since episode 3, the whole pre-grieving, the whole I'm fine, even though you kind of knew that it was going to come. This was literally on the cards, wasn't it? Just not his. It was always going to happen, because you're right. What can he talk about? His dad hated him and only offered him that ATN kind of like carrot just before he died, because he needed him because of his relationship with Menken.
Yeah, I think it's sort of, he's glommed onto this last out of all the kids. Connor knows his place in the sort of family. Shiv's always been on the outside, and she even says in her eulogy, she's like, you know, he didn't have room in his head for like a whole woman. Like every
such a
woman.
Great line. Yeah.
I could not. That's like one of the best lines on the show. Because they cut to the, and we'll get to this, but they cut to the sort of wags that are all on the second row, I think they are.
The subs bench.
Yeah, and they're all nodding. Like, he only ever saw us as like 62% of a person or 15, you know. But Kendall's kind of learnt this, especially after last season, where his dad was just like, you're never going to be enough. You're never going to do the job. But Roman still didn't really understand that his father never really saw them as anything other than, like, tools to use parts.
I've seen interviews with Brian Cox and with Kieran Culkin and Jeremy Strong, and they've all talked about, Logan Roy just loves his kids. That's his downfall, is his love. Yeah. I have never, ever sensed that whatsoever.
The thing that I always think about is that I think the two things could be true. He thinks he loves his kids, and his perception of what love is very, very different to what most people's perception of love is. And I think that's a rich person thing. I think there's always been this thread that they've never really addressed about how Logan was quite badly beaten up, quite badly abused as a kid. And
well, Ewan's eulogy, like, was just great.
So I do think, like, I think this show is about abuse, and I've said this before on the podcast, the cycle, and it just repeats itself generation to generation. You can see in the way that Ken was at the start of the episode with Rava and his kids, where he doesn't even say I love you or anything. His way of trying to be there for them is to literally be in their way.
Yeah,
I'm going to get custody of you. Yeah. I'm going to get a court order to stop you leaving the city today. And she's just like, okay. The cycle sort of continued, isn't it? They're all good. But yeah, I agree with you. I don't think Logan knows how to love them. I think he thinks giving them this part in his empire is love, but, you know.
What I really enjoyed about the whole series, like four seasons worth, accumulating into next week, really, is that it's been drips of water against the limestone and gradually, like, worn away. And what you've realised is that everything that's happened over the past years, the past four seasons, has all been to serve the story of the three kids against each other. Mm. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. Everything has been funneling its way, like the blood in the House of the Dragon titles, channeling into and condensing down into a bigger drip, into a stream, into a torrent of what we're going to get next week. And so even in today's episode with the funeral, there was nothing that happened that was not serving the story of the three kids against each other. Not a single thing.
And it's it's like the greatest scale for them.
Yeah.
Your dad's dead. Even, like, your dad's gone.
Yeah. Even mum being there was only there because of what I think is going to happen next week. And it was a kind of bit of a giveaway. I've not seen the trailer yet, but I'm certain.
We'll watch it before the end.
We forgot last week. Sorry.
Yeah.
They were in the car, in the limo on the way there. Or did you get the invite to mum's Caribbean Clear the Air?
Yeah.
I think is going to happen next week.
Well, yeah, she's in next week's episode because she did an interview. Is it Harriet, what's the name of the actress? I thought Harriet Walker, but she's a fashion editor.
It might be. She was mum's Succession typing.
Harriet Walter. Oh, I knew it was.
Harriet Walter, yes.
Harriet Walter. She did an interview in the Sunday Times a couple of weeks ago, and she said she's in episodes 9 and 10. So definitely amazing. There. So,
because as we know, she holds the vote. She holds a vote or the deciding vote.
Oh my God. I've seen the trailer.
Oh, okay. Right. Okay. Don't tell me. Because we've got so much to get through. I don't want to spoil it.
So when we were talking about Roman to start with, and we were talking about, this is just such a perfect distillation of what the show is about.
Yeah.
And they're all at different points. You know, even Roman says to Ken, I think in the car or when they get out of the car, that was clever that you brought sunglasses so that you can have a cry. And he's the one that breaks down, you know, when he sees the coffin and he says, he just looks so sort of small. He points with this crooked little finger and goes, is he in there? Is he in there?
Yeah.
It just devastates him.
He really turned when Ewan started speaking and spoke of the abuse that Logan suffered, because, and you know, I'm sure far more intelligent people and the writers could go into the kind of psychology of that. But, you know, you mentioned it being about abuse and it's not, I can't imagine that any of them had either heard that story before.
No.
Or even heard a story about their father before that kind of made sense. Like, wow, no wonder he was such a cunt.
Yeah.
And no wonder. And also how awful that my dad went through that. And also, if he went through that, why was he such a shit to me? You know?
Yeah.
All of those things.
Yeah.
That's for me when Roman's face, just the fear in his eyes, I think was a mixture of like, fucking hell, I've got to follow this. My speech is like you say, the greatest hits Wikipedia joke.
And he's just, I think funerals are just more like, they're mortifying. Like the music is always, you know, if you have like organ music, it just sends a chill down my spine. I just can't deal with it.
Well, and they're either hugely religious or it's very rare that a funeral is right. Do you know, like bang on.
Yeah.
There's always something that goes wrong or is a little bit too religious or not religious enough impersonal or, you know.
Yeah.
It's like my wife's grandma died during COVID and we had to go up there and my wife couldn't go there because she had COVID. It was horrible. It was
horrific. Oh, God.
And she wanted my way played as the curtains closed.
Right.
And the stereo broke and it just like massive ear piercings feedback for like 30 seconds before some doddery bloke could find the plug for the stereo. It was just, and what can you do with them? Just kind of like, fucking hell. You know, so the funerals, like you say, they're just deeply weird things.
Really, really weird. And they are, there's a finality to them. And I always, you know, as soon as you see the coffin, it's just really quite intense. And that's, I think you're right though. I think Ewan is really smart. He knows that if he gets in first, he can set the mood of this thing.
Yeah.
And he's such a bastard. I mean, he's right. All the stuff he said in his speech is right. But he knows that he has to get this off his chest. But I thought a lot when I watched his stuff where he talks about their sister. She has been mentioned in the show.
Yeah.
But we didn't know about the polio and we didn't know that Logan maybe thought he brought it back.
Blamed himself for her death.
But I thought that I thought a lot about, like, you know, the kids realize they don't know their dad that well at all. Mm. There's so much of him. They're all thinking, who's going to do the best eulogy? Oh, I'm going to... Roman, all he's got is like, well, my dad lay cables and my dad made television.
Yeah.
Ewan's got all rockets. This stuff that speaks to Logan's constitution and stuff that speaks to his character, but hiding in the hull of that boat for five days, we just felt with our eyes. He says something like that, which is that, and it's just, what a horrifying image. But Ewan also knows that, like, unless he talks about it, all of that dies. And that actually speaks to what we've talked about on our Game of Thrones rewatch with Bran. Once he knows everything, and if you kill him, it all goes. And I think about that a lot.
It was the whole ethos behind that. What's the Pixar film with the skeleton guitar playing guy?
Oh, Coco.
Yeah. It's the same. The whole plot of Coco is exactly the same thing as well.
Yeah. I think about this a lot. My grandparents passed away 2 years ago in the pandemic. And that's the last of that generation of my family.
Yeah.
And there's so many times now where I see pictures of like their grandparents and I'm like, oh shit, I don't know who what's that person's name, or like even like my granddad left me his dad's watch that he got given when he retired. Wow. He used to work in a factory in just outside Carlisle.
Yeah.
And it's there's so many questions I have about it. You know, I didn't realize all the men in my family worked in this one factory, and I'm like, the person that I want to talk to that about that isn't alive anymore.
Yeah.
And so I think I thought it was really interesting. There's so much we learned about Logan, and we might not learn any more. We might not see Ewan again. There was so many moments in this episode where it felt quite striking that we've been with Logan this whole time and there's a lot we don't know about him.
Yeah, no, absolutely true. Absolutely true. Before we carry on with the funeral, before then, there was a great moment with Tom and Greg in the office of ATN. And this just goes to, this is why Succession is so good, because the attention to detail is amazing. Did you do what I did when they opened the paper? Did you pause the screen?
No. You're much more eagle-eyed than I am.
So you saw them like, where Tom was just like, because Tom got like third, or like, not, it didn't even get a paragraph of text.
Yeah.
It was all about Darwin Perry. So, and someone someone's taken like a really high-res screen grab of it. I'm going to read you Darwin's paragraph because it's this is like the art department of Succession. It's just so good. So this is in the what must be the New York Times. It's got the New York Times font. And it's like the deconstruction of what happened, you know, controversial call at ATN, whose fault is it, all that kind of stuff. So Darwin Perry, who's the guy, who's the director of the ATN decision desk, flailing handmaiden to the Wisconsin call. Mr. Perry's headed up the ATN decision desk for the previous four presidential elections. However, his authority was undermined on this election night, with those close to Mr. Perry citing that the loss of his protector, Sid Peach, as a key factor. Pressured by Roman Roy and later Mr. Wamsgans in supporting the Wisconsin projections, Mr. Perry has since told sources that he bitterly regrets his decision. Another mitigating factor in Mr. Perry's failure to push back against the Mencken call was the occurrence of a freak workplace accident which temporarily blinded Mr. Perry as the call was being deliberated. He later told colleagues he believed the accident may have impaired his ability to think clearly in the high-stress pressure cooker environment of election night. So he's like gone, fuck that. I am not taking the rap for this. It was the wasabi's fault.
I love when they do this, though, because when, as we've talked about with that Vanity Fair story about Rupert Murdoch, you read it and you go, how are all these ridiculous details coming out? Like, how are they not ring-fenced? Yeah. And then, of course, this would come out. Of course the whole thing with Darwin and the lemon water and the wasabi would sort of end up in the papers. Out. Tom's furious, though, isn't he? That he
he
sold his soul to the devil, and he didn't really get anything out of it. He's got
absolutely nothing out of it.
Not any closer with Mencken.
Yeah, absolutely.
Interesting. Interesting sort of decision, and it makes a lot of sense with what the show was doing in the background. But Tom was too busy to even go to the funeral, which is sort of...
Which brought me, I think, weirdly, given the episode mainly about Logan and Shiv and all the great performances, Tom just walks in and within 5 seconds just stole the show for me. And just like, oh, God.
He started crying.
I cried twice in this episode, first time I watched it. One was with Roman, where it was just like, oh, my God, someone just please hug the fucking guy.
I know.
Put him out of his misery and hug him. When he was just like you said, can we get him out, really, please? Can we get him out, please? Just like... And the horror of being confronted by death, you know, when you've been in denial, you know, it was amazing. And then Tom and Shiv, you know, Shiv with her face, Sarah Snook's face in that, where she was like, oh shit, this is an actual, I'm feeling feelings here. This is not what I wanted to, you know, was just like crazy. Oh my God.
Yeah. Ooh. I thought it was so fascinating to watch, and it didn't play out the way I thought, you know. But Kendall,
the first time they seemed like a loving married couple, I think it's the first time where they actually had empathy for each other, and she was just like, look, go back,
she
to
lets
the apartment.
Him go to the apartment.
They know, you know, all of that stuff.
I do think they're gonna end up still together by the end.
I think so
that it sort of reminds me of Gone Girl. Have you seen or read Gone Girl? By the end, the couple are like, well, I can't remember the name of the characters in Gone Girl, but the woman is like a monster, and the guy's like, I should stay with you because I've come this far.
Yeah.
And also, I can protect everyone else from you.
Yeah, I'll take and one I'm for the like, rest of the world, yeah.
I'm good at this, and that's maybe what I'm put on the earth to do, is to sort of inoculate the rest of the world from you. And I just feel like Tom and Shiv are going to sort of go, we're so in tune, and we're permanently fixed onto each other. Like, they just feel like they can't, you know, when you become you start a relationship, you sort of become like two parts of a whole, and then you break up and you have to reconstitute yourself to be a whole part again. And they
you're
feel
only
like
saying that because you know Rob listens now. Yeah.
Love you. But it's true that you they don't feel like they're going to exist as separate entities. They feel like they're both part of a whole, and I just don't think they are going to do the work to improve themselves. And I just felt that they're going to end up together again.
I think you're right. Well, Shiv, when Tom was just like, were you ever going to tell me? What are you going to explain? And she was like, at first, you know, I didn't know if I wanted to keep it. Then I didn't know if it was going to be okay. It turns out it is okay. Some... And then she was just like, and then I didn't tell you because it was just so fucking sad, you know, which really kind of hurt, which was like, oh my God. So she was just, you know, so she was in a point of mind where she was like, this is perfect, except for the fact that we hate each other.
And yeah.
Just like, oh.
And I do think they could, if any of the people in that family, Shiv is the one that can be saved by therapy. I feel like Roman, I think, is just like beyond help.
Yeah.
Ken, I think, is a little beyond help. Shiv, I think they could, like, if they went to like Esther Perel, like the sort of super famous podcaster therapist, that they could make it work.
Yeah.
She seems the most, because she was further away from Logan, she has sort of got a bit of a chance. But the boys, I just think are just dumb. I mean, I sort of said
Ken.
I said last week though, I was like, I think the way that I'd love to see the show end is him coming home and being a dad with his kids. And after watching this episode, I was like, that is never going to happen.
No, he's not going to see his kids because they're upstate.
The poison has seeped through, as he sort of was scared of with his dad and him. It has happened.
He made a concerted effort in this episode to fully try and metamorphosize directly into Logan Roy. You know, his eulogy, which was kind of like off the bat, was great. You know, he's done, you know, I think what it's trying to show is that actually, after all that we've been through, Kendall was the right choice. And it should, and it probably was an underline rather than a crossing out of his name. You know, the Living Plus thing, he turned that around. He did a great speech there against the odds. Here, he tried to edit Roman's speech, realised that it was dog shit. And
lines going through it, which I thought was quite poetic, given what happened with his dad.
And then just kind of like, just was able, off the cuff, in front of presidents, in front of the world's biggest thinkers, to deliver a really powerful speech.
I think from
then on in, his kind of hiring of Colin, his...
Hugo back on the team.
Frank's already on the team, you know, gathering his team. What was he said? The great thing with Hugo was at the mausoleum, where he's kind of like, you know, you're not going to see at the table, there'll be scraps, but the scraps are millions.
My dog now. And he goes, woof, woof, woof.
It's like,
so I think that's a really good point though. He did become Logan. Well, 100%. An approximation of Logan.
His approximation of what he thinks Logan would do, especially when he realized, okay, I'm going for it. I'm going public with what I want to do. Now is the time. He did what he thought Logan would have said to Roman, and absolutely like fucking twisted the knife when he really didn't need the knife twisting, and sent him over the edge.
I think Roman fucking up is what kind of gave him the adrenaline to like come in, and they're like apex predators, these lot. As soon as they see weakness, they're like, hang on a minute. But I saw a couple of people online say he totally paid someone to write this speech for him, right? Kendall.
Oh, okay.
Because there's a word that I have written down.
Wow.
Because I had to look it up.
Yeah.
Corpuscles. Corpuscles.
That's like the blood vessel. Isn't that like the...
It's like living... Like this,
the living embodiment.
Basic constituent of matter.
Yeah.
And I was like, you did not come up with that on the fly. So there is a school of thought on the internet that he had a speech prepared just in case, which I think feels very Ken. Paying someone to write a eulogy feels... Quite him. Yeah. But you said he sold it. I think from Living Plus, I think he was like, I can do this.
Yeah.
And yeah, I mean, it was an amazing speech, full of all these amazing, you know, life gushing out of him, vitality.
Yeah.
And it was this, there was, he was really good because sometimes he was like, he was, what's the word he used? I absolutely loved it.
He had a runny nose all the way through it. It was great.
Yeah, there was all these details where he was sort of constantly wobbling, but kind of composing himself. I can't remember what the word was that he used, but it was...
What, who Kendall?
Kendall. It began with a B. It was like he was.
It's like the corpuscles of life quickening the ambition. A bloody complicated life. My God, I hope it's in me. He was comfortable with this world. You know, what he's saying is he created this kind of like this world of dirt, but he loved it. And he was comfortable talking to the most powerful people in the world.
Kings
and he could
and
walk
queens.
Into the living room of the lowest house and be comfortable.
Which is true in that amazing episode in season two where they go to the family of the kid who Kendall was responsible for the death of.
Yeah.
Logan walks in and is very at ease in that space. Ken ends up going and like washing his own cup. Do you remember? He goes and does the washing up. Yeah. He didn't understand that was all that was there in the house. But I can't find this. But the whole speech is just amazing. But I love that with Kendall, whereas Roman was kind of like cables, towers, da-da-da-da, you know, Kendall's was all about blood and life, and it almost sounded like he was describing, like, birth. It was like blood and dirt and guts and pumping and oxygen and breath. And the other thing that really, I just really laughed at was he was like, I hope some of it's in me, and after he failed to even stop his family getting away from him, and when he found out his family want to go upstate because they're scared for their life, he was like, I'm going to get custody of them and I'm going to send lawyers after them.
Yeah.
And even poor Jess. I mean, Jess, well done for getting out.
Oh, but such a great detail. That was like, I love that bit because that is, we've all done that at one point where someone says, oh, you've put a meeting in here. What's that? We'll do it anytime. And then the way that he turned around was like, great timing, Jess. Thanks. Kick him out while he's
when it was his, he was the one that made her talk about it.
She was like reluctantly dragged into this conversation.
Yeah.
But he was angry because he was angry because he knew she was right. You know, because he's angry that he's let it get into this situation.
Yeah. And the rot's set in, right? So he can't keep his wife around. He can't keep his kids, or he can send all the cars after them. All his approach is money and transactional power. And they don't want that. Yeah. You know, Jess would rather not have the perks that come with running around after him. But I would say
the access has been incredible.
I would say if I was her, I don't know, because she wants out the whole company. I was saying, like, if I had to work for a man like him, I would say something like, I want to explore bigger opportunities within the company.
Yeah.
Can we have a time? Because I used to work at an American company. I suppose I do now. But my last job, very rooted in, like, corporate talk. So you would say stuff like, can we, over the next 3 months, can we have some discussions about projecting what my future, and you do all this sort of thing, right?
Oh my God, I would not last a fucking second.
But I was very good at playing the system.
Wait.
In a way. Well, just in the sense that if you know how, if you want something, you know that, like, you say it like this.
Little dragon casters, we got a little fucking Kendall Roy on our hands here.
If you say it one way, they're not going to want to hear it. But if you frame it as like, look, I want to do this in the next 6 months. I want us to have a decision on it in the next 3 months. Can we talk about it in a month? They go, yeah. But if you go, I want a promotion, they just...
Like, ooh, how vulgar. 8, 9, what's next? Yeah.
What are all these numbers? But I loved it. I loved that we saw his... Yeah, he was really pissed about the family. I think he was really pissed about the optics of not having them there.
Yeah.
But he did thrive. And I, you know... I feel quite proud of him this season. But he's only able to do this because he knows that there's a bit of a charade with the funeral. He knows that it's the president is there.
The vultures, there's a drop of blood in the water and the sharks are on the run.
And Roman has kind of permanently emasculated himself. And Mencken's kind of like doesn't like him anymore, does he? Mencken sort of thinks he's a bit of a loser.
Well, let's tell you what. Let's go for a quick break. And when we come back, we'll have a break and then it's the wake. Don't go anywhere.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to 1 full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Welcome back to The Sound of Succession, part of the Dragoncast series. It's the penultimate episode of Succession, Season 4, Episode 9. I'm Jamie East.
And I'm Chris Mandel.
And we're just about to serve ourselves up a lovely, big, delicious bowl of privacy pussy pasta.
That was such a weird thing. I mean, I know he said that in another episode, didn't he?
Last season. So he did really badly. He's just like, the one bit that's confused me about all of this.
Yeah.
Is possibly one of the most important bits of the whole, what important plot points of the whole series. Yeah. Is the fact that Mencken has decided to go with Mattson and Shiv as opposed to the natural fit of, Roman and Ken. Is that because he's identified, and quite cleverly, have we not given Mencken credit where it's due, where he's been savvy enough to realise, I don't need to win over ATN. ATN have called it. They're already like in the frame for calling it. All the people that watch that already support me. What I should do is get into bed with the kids, with the Gen Zs, with the TikTokers, and infiltrate that way there, knowing full well that I've got Shiv Roy right in my pocket.
That is definitely clear in some of the interactions in this episode. But I also think there's just this classic thing with Succession where they're like, you can't trust anyone. And they've gone in on Mattson thinking that, you know, they swung an election for him.
Yeah.
And he doesn't owe them shit. What are they going to do? Like,
well, that's what they realised very quickly, wasn't it? Yeah. It's like, oh shit, hang on.
So I think he's kind of very clever.
We've got no skin in this game. Yeah,
he's very clever because he's just like, I can play both sides. I'm the fucking president. I don't have to follow through on anything. But I also think it's just meddling on a level that Mencken doesn't need now that he's president. When he was a president elect, yeah, you've got to like make promises, you've got to campaign, but fuck them. What are they going to do? And so yeah, suddenly he maybe just doesn't care about Shiv and Lucas's plan. But also, I'm fairly sure I called him Mattson again in this episode already.
Shame on you.
Mattson is just really hard for me to say.
Yeah.
Anyway, but the other thing is, I think it's, was it in this episode where Shiv says to Tom, I can't believe, you know, when Dad was alive, you wouldn't have dreamed of missing something like this. And he said, I don't know if you know this, but your dad's not as important as he used to be.
His influence has waned somewhat over the past couple of days.
And I think like if I was Mencken, I'd be thinking, look, let's say Murdoch's dead, RIP. the legacy goes with him. Doesn't matter who's in charge.
100%. 100%.
Doesn't matter. Yeah. But I think Shiv has really... She played on Lucas's insecurities, and she played up to his worries about all of this. And she's managed to pivot into actually getting named in principle as CEO.
Yeah, she played a great game. But Mattson was really bad. He was just like, he did not... And I think maybe that's what Mencken saw. It's just like, this guy's a bit of an idiot.
Yeah. He doesn't feel as... I mean, it's just... I think he's always a bit weird out of his home turf.
Well, he just doesn't... Maybe he's got... maybe it's ADHD, Asperger's-y kind of thing where out of the tech bubble, he just... Because he was the same... At the tailgate party, wasn't he, as well? Like, oh, I see, I just have to be nice to people. And yeah, it was pretty incredible. But yeah,
I was impressed he was there, actually. I thought Lucas wouldn't see. He's sort of trying to learn to play the game like an American or like a Roy. He's turning up in the nice black suit. He's kind of playing the game a bit more than we've ever seen him do. But
yeah.
I guess he does really want this deal. So, yeah, it's actually really thrilling to see, Shiv's kind of hedged her bet and she's kind of working with it. But, you know, she had to deal with Mencken at the wake. And I just think it's such a huge leap from last season when she didn't even want to be photographed with him to this awful bit where all the kids, Greg, Lucas, are flapping around Mencken and Shiv kind of goes... Let me get you out of here.
I'm your extraction party. Yeah.
I mean, they were all like a load of lemmings, weren't they?
It was I was embarrassed for all of them. All of them. I mean, it was like...
So cringe.
I mean, you know, Roman was just fucked. You know, Mencken was just like, tiny tears, which is just like, even on I mean, it doesn't matter if you're president or not. You know, that stuff like that comes back to bite you in biographies for years to come.
Yeah.
It's just, you know.
Well, unless you're Trump, when people who like you use it as a plus, where they go, I love that he speaks to people. Oh, like
but my God. Yeah. And then Kendall was like, you know, that was when Kendall knew they were fucked. He was like, you might help.
Yeah.
Oh, and then Greg interrupted. It's just the fact that they all interrupt, and Kendall was just like, hold on, I was in the middle of... Greg was like, hi, sir, I was part of the party that, well, I was one of many that, just an awful moment.
What did he call the committee? He gave them a name, of the people that...
The crowning
knew,
committee.
The crowning committee. I love that. Greg... is so... I have really been enjoying him. He can sometimes be a little grating, but the fact that Tom sent him, because he's like, Mencken doesn't even know about my involvement, and he sort of sent him to like try and buff up his credentials.
Exactly, and all Greg did was like... was
make it worse.
But Greg, I mean, it's everything's to play for, right? And Greg knows that, and Greg's like, well, fuck him. You know, but bear in mind, this was the day after. Again, this is the sequential thing, does my nutting a little bit. This was the day after that he threw Shiv under a bus. You'd think Shiv would have just like taught. If that was your, you know, if someone had done that to you and you saw them the next day at your dad's funeral, you'd have had a couple, you know, it would have gone proper EastEnders, right?
I think the funeral day could have been like three episodes. There's so much they could have done. I mean, because as you said,
we've jumped way ahead. Can we just please doff our cap to that incredible grinding teeth line?
Oh my God, yes. We have to talk about the wags.
Oh,
we have to talk
Jesus
about the wags.
Christ.
Do you want to know a great fact?
Yes.
So I read this this morning. Oh no, I read this at this afternoon after watching the episode.
Yeah.
So we've got Caroline, Lady Caroline.
Yeah.
Marcia, our favourite friend of the pod, Kerry, is back.
Brilliant.
And then there is a woman who Caroline describes as my Kerry, the same thing happened when I was married to Logan.
Yeah, exactly.
She is played by Brian Cox's wife.
No way!
Yeah. So a real life wag of the show on the wag lineup.
That's glorious.
Isn't that great? Oh. And I loved that whole thing because, you know, we don't really see the debris from Logan's behavior that much, but
no.
I loved that firstly Caroline was like, Kerry needs to be up front, like she was a part of his life,
yeah,
And I thought Marsha kind of came full circle with very little. You know, she does so much with so little, but she kind of realized, like, he can have been mine, but I also shared him with people. And, like, it's not right, but, like, that's the situation
I'm
in.
But also, you know. Also, what does it matter? What is it going to... How is it going to improve things by me trying to get these thrown out? And Kerry was there with a handsome lawyer just in case there was a problem with entry.
And her brother. I thought that was weird.
It was just like so sad.
Imagine getting a plus two to a wedding that funeral, sorry.
Yeah.
that the president is at.
Yeah. But it was just like, and she did so well, Zoe Winters did. It was just like, so touching from all of them, actually. And like, you're right, Caroline is just like, she's weathered the storm many years ago. She's like totally over it. And she's like, oh, come on. Yeah. We've all done it. You know, we've all been there.
We've all, the feelings we felt are not ours alone. Like there are other people. And it's like what Shiv said, you know, he doesn't seem to have room for a whole woman in his head. And they're all kind of like, mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was just.
But that Marsha says, at least he won't grind his teeth anymore. And they all just, do this
and they
nod.
All just laughed. Oh my God, the teeth that kept me.
I thought it was one of the warmest moments in the show ever, because there's never any warmth or familial bonding. And these four women who would never have met if it wasn't through Logan.
Yeah.
I thought that was so clever.
It was just beautiful.
Caroline
so,
also
so nice.
Immediately sussed out that Shiv was pregnant without being told, which is such a like mum thing to do.
Well, she looked like she'd been eating her feelings, apparently, according to. And also, can we just give a shout out to the good and brilliant Roman Royline, where she was just like, I'm pregnant. Roman just immediately went, is it mine? It was just so good.
And he was like, can I jerk off in front of you?
Imagine
when you're
breastfeeding. It's like, oh man, that's his niece or nephew and his sister.
Literally. It's so bad. It's so toxic, the stuff he comes out with.
Was that Greg's mum sat next to Greg?
Yes, yeah. Who we've seen in the pilot. She was in the pilot.
Oh, okay.
And Ewan's daughter.
Amazing.
It was a really... Yeah, I thought.
And we saw.
I loved the fact
that the guy in the what's the guy in the wheelchair called?
Oh, Sandy and Sandy.
He was just like in the middle of like the like just in blurred in the like the depth of field. Yeah. You could just see him just still there, just like
you could just see that.
Him.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh man, Stewie's been. Why have we seen Stewie at all? We've seen him like once this whole series, right?
Maybe he was. Maybe Adrian Moyad was doing another film or something, and they had to just. But I love that Caroline's husband, Peter, came back, who just treated the whole thing as a networking event, you know.
He's so excited. I think he's got an autograph book with him.
Yeah.
But he's also, like, he like walked up to the kids and was like, Daddy's here. It's just like, at Logan's funeral.
But did you see the way that he went in to hug them?
Yeah.
The kids didn't move. It was like hugging like a scarecrow. Like they were just like, what on earth are you doing? It was so, so funny.
He's going to roll around like a Labrador with some senators. It was just
And just, it's so good. He was like, I think it's such a funny thing for her to marry a Logan Roy stan.
Yeah, 100%.
The other thing that we haven't mentioned yet, which I made a note of because I loved, he wasn't in this episode a lot, but Connor, he wanted to do his eulogy that was, Shiv said, it makes no sense and will leave us open to legal action. And Willa says, well, it's formally inventive. That's one of the things we like most about it.
It's like Willa's like just completely bought into this first lady kind of thing. It's like, it's been incredible. She's like gone all for someone who was like staring wistfully into the distance as the limo door shut just after she realized she'd accepted his proposal. She's now leading the charge and is making him worse.
I know.
My favorite Connor moment was in the mausoleum, where he was just like, well, what do you think? Room in there for. And it's like, well, you know, I'm kind of into cryogenics, but you know,
of course he's into cryogenics. He's reserved one of those tanks that's probably like 30
him
grand
next
a
to
year.
Walt Disney, yeah,
exactly. Yeah. But I think the mausoleum was just another detail where, of course, he got it from like a dog
pet supply owner.
Petsupply.com guy. But also just
what did he call it? What did Schiff call it? The Ozymandias.
It was such a good.
Hang on, where has it gone? I wrote it down. The cat food Ozymandias. It was just like,
but Connor came up with some really, because Connor knew more about it than the others, and when they were going towards it,
that was really good,
really smart, because he was like, he always said he didn't want to be under the ground, and everyone else was kind of like,
I don't know,
you know, you kind of watch it. I was watching it going, oh yeah, that sort of sounds like something he would say, but then of course he's also got room there for them if they want it, and I thought that was really interesting that he wants them buried with him, which is something that. He doesn't seem sentimental in death, no more than he is in life. And yet, there was something like they were all going, maybe we don't want that.
I thought it was a really clever thing to do, because they all kind of looked at Connor and was like, oh shit, you did have this relationship with Logan, with Dad, that none of us had. And it's a real eldest child thing. I'm saying that as an eldest child. I think that's kind of how it probably is for a lot of families as well.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, definitely. He also, I think, from being their stepbrother rather than, you know, because they don't have the same mum, he just grew up with a bit of distance. He just seems to know a lot about their dad before the kids came along, a sort of pre-kids era. Even though I'm sure the age difference isn't that big, but he's been around a bit longer. And, you know, he went into the mausoleum first. Roman couldn't bear to go in at all.
No, he just stood at the door and looked in.
I actually saw a really interesting detail on Twitter this week that was a screenshot from a script from, like, season three. And it was saying that they've intentionally avoided ever answering the eldest and young, like, which of the three... Ken, Shiv and Roman, which one is oldest, which one is youngest? They've said it's supposed to be ambiguous.
Well, I mean, I always presumed it was Ken, Shiv, Roman.
But then you can sort of see Shiv being the youngest.
Yeah.
You can also see, I think there was a real sense of them kind of figuring out if they ever knew him, but also... trying to have the definitive take on their father, which was so why Ewan's speech was so upsetting, because you were like, this can't be how it goes. But it's just a really strong episode for me, like a really powerful.
I mean, and like the coda of it was Roman in the street, kind of like, fuck about, you're going to find out, and kind of, basically having a complete nervous breakdown, rolling around in the middle of New Manhattan, and it's a
very
bit,
strange.
Getting a bit Tiananmen.
Yeah, that's Tom's saying everything's getting a bit Tiananmen. So we know there's loads of protests, and there was banging on the car, and you know they were sort of observing all of this chaos from their limo, from their hotel bar, from all of the sort of gilded places. But Roman actually goes down to. He's so sort of. Destructive at the moment, isn't he?
I think he wanted
to get beaten up a bit and sort of, I don't know.
He couldn't quite believe that he'd been hit though. You know, he was like, you piece of shit. And the second he got a tiny tap, he was down like a sack of spuds and was in fetal position. Like, oh my God. This is like, reminding me of like guys that like white collar boxing kind of like fight clubby kind of like from the city who are kind of like, yeah, man. And then someone from fucking Barnsley just fucking knocks their teeth out. And they're like, oh my God, hit by a commoner. Yeah.
My Ray-Bans won't fit on if you give me a cauliflower.
Exactly.
There was this thing in the media industry where they do this one night a week where all these execs go and fight. Have you heard about it?
Yeah, I have heard about this. Yeah.
Someone I used to work with, and I'm going to be deliberately vague, very, very senior guy at a company I worked at, did it once. And
publishing company, by any chance?
I can't say anymore because...
Okay, I mean, it's not exactly a long list. It's not exactly a long list, is it? You know.
But it was just this thing where this real... did you do it?
No, I didn't. No, I was just saying long list, short list.
Oh, right, yeah. He was this real suit and tie kind of Kendall Roy guy. Like, he wasn't that old, but he, like, was in the, you know, he did a lot of business and probably had, like, a good bonus.
Yeah.
And he signed up to do it and just got the shit kicked out of him.
It's just beautiful, isn't it?
And you're just like, why do you do this? Why? Like, why?
Do you know what?
It's the Andrew Tate thing of that. They just want to feel something.
I occasionally have a flashback to a TV show that would never exist now, where Ricky Gervais had a boxing match with Grant Bovey. Do you remember this?
This is so... No, not at all.
Like a celebrity boxing match where Ricky Gervais and Grant Bovey. Also, I have to confess, in my pilot graveyard, I once produced an episode of a TV show that never made it to air, should have done, called Celebrity Boxing in the Dark.
That is pure Partridge.
I mean...
Why in the dark?
Well, because it's funnier. So, this is a bit
cheaper to light.
So it's a bit of a sidebar, much like kind of Shiv talking to Mencken at a funeral. So created it, half an hour long program, amazing. Two celebrities wearing night vision cameras in a room rigged up with night vision cameras, full boxing match in the dark. For the pilot, Paul Dinan versus Scott from Five. Yeah.
Oh my God. Did you film it?
Oh, I'll send it to you. Paul Dinan broke three of Scott from Five's ribs because he did a flying ninja jump kick at him in the dark. And I almost single-handedly had Five's reunion tour scrapped.
Oh my God.
And they tried to sue me.
I mean, because he signed a waiver, right? Saying,
of course he did. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, man.
That's amazing. So did you have to pay them to go on it?
Yeah, they were paid. Yeah, I mean, not by me, but yeah, it was... anyway, that's completely...
that's incredible. small detail that we haven't mentioned.
Yes.
Well, I think you maybe touched on it earlier that, yeah, Ken was sort of rounding up some Avengers for his new sort of plan. He got Colin.
Yes, I loved that moment.
But I thought it was very interesting because I felt like... Yeah, because he was sort of mocking him for seeing a therapist, wasn't he?
Yeah, he's kind of like, seeing a head shrinker and then laughed. Like, as if like Ken's not had his own mental health issues. I thought it was really, really weird. But again, that's what I meant about him metamorphosizing into Logan, thinking that's how Logan would speak.
And he kind of got him back in theory, but I felt like he didn't understand that, like, Logan had to earn Colin's respect and vice versa. It's not a one-way thing. But he was going around just tick, tick, tick. Yeah. Hugo's, you know, ready and willing and able.
Woof, woof.
Frank
was very dismissive to Roman all throughout. Although he was...
Is that one... because he's already with Ken? Is that,
I think,
is that
so. Sort of... But also, I think, wasn't Roman shitty to Frank like the last episode? But there was... Maybe two ago,
because I don't think the kids interacted with any of those C-suites.
Maybe a couple of...
Election,
but there was the moment where, you know... I think Frank leaned out, you know, are you all right, son? I pre-grieved.
Oh, that was this episode,
I pre-grieved and I'm not your son, you know, something like that.
Yeah, that was when he was going up, when he came back down.
Yeah.
And he kept saying, I think I just need a drink of water.
Yeah, and Hugo got him his bottle of water.
I thought Ken is kind of planning on just going full Bond villain. Like, he's going to just... It's going to be a pure battle, isn't it? But I wonder if the way that we saw Roman just sort of like disappear into the crowd, if he is just going to like just leave the family, or I don't know.
There's only one way to find out.
Watch the trailer.
Shall we watch the trailer?
Yes. So I did watch it just to sort of get ahead because
I can't
believe
excited. You've watched a trailer without me with you. I feel hurt.
Yeah, but you watched the episodes many days ago.
I can't. I'm not gonna. No, there's no screeners for this. I gotta wait.
Is there not?
I've gotta be like the unwashed.
Oh my God.
Okay, here we go.
Okay, here we go. You ready?
I know that we've said the worst things, but I just wanted to get a few things straight.
Dad said that it would be me.
If we want to hold on to this company for us, we have to go into battle with our own version of the future, with the king.
We're gonna cut shit close to the bone. We're gonna get right fucking in there. It's gonna get nasty.
Okay, buckle up.
Oh God, I've got goosebumps. I cannot.
Weirdly, I feel like, yeah, really unclear, like, what happens in the episode.
Yeah, so, I mean, there's two settings.
That looks like the Caribbean.
Yeah, there's Caribbean, but also the boardroom. For geography fans, I think the Caribbean's quite close to America. So it's not like the boardroom being in, like, London and having to go to the Caribbean. I think it is a bit of a, you can hop over there in a private jet. I think, so, everyone's in this. We saw Stewie. I think I saw a bit of Stewie. Saw Roman with his cut above his eye.
I saw that. Yeah.
So there's clearly a play from Kendall, a final kind of like, look, we're going to lose this if we don't all of us go in there and do it. You know, maybe there's something from that he learns about Mattson that he's actually going to fuck Shiv over in some way, and actually, you know, something like that. Because otherwise, why would Shiv even entertain the conversation?
Yeah, I think it's not helped by the fact we don't really understand how the deal, like, I thought the deal was, the deal's happening, but it's the board have just not voted on it.
Yeah, so Kendall and Roman and Shiv, you know, agreed that they were going to try and block the deal through regulation. When they realized that Menken wasn't going to block it. The only way that they have to stop the deal is by proving to the board that it's a bad deal, right, and that they are a more compelling vision of the Waystar's future than Mattson.
Right, I see.
So in effect, it's like an exit. It's the worst six chair challenge of all time for them. They're going to have to try and speak to Stewie, to Ewan, to Caroline, to whoever the other
board. Oh, I see. So they have to literally recruit everyone.
Well, they have to basically give their pitch. They have to say. And it sounds like on the other side, you've got Mattson, who's like, right, we're going to get deep in there and get dirty. Also
the board. I mean, the board want what's best for the company.
And yeah, they don't give a shit about anything.
Might not be Kendall. You know, I think, what are you, okay, let's talk. Any predictions? Any predictions?
I think I can only think in terms of mood. I can't think of any real specifics. I think you're right. I think Tom and Shiv will find each other again.
Yeah.
It looks like Roman's, you know, he said it was going to be me. I don't know. He didn't know. He just said ATN was going to be him. I think it's going to be quite satisfying. I think it's an hour and a half long next week. It's a 90 minute. Mm. It's a movie, pretty much.
It's,
I think,
crazy. Hour and a half.
I think ultimately, I think the kids will win. I don't think Mattson's going to win. I don't think Menken will win. I think that's going to be the moral of it, is that actually you can't stop the news. You can't, you know, it's business. And it is about succession. So it cannot, I can't see the story going any other way than it being some form of succession. It might be a bit of a mangled version.
I suppose you can make a case that this is the story of what happened when one of them did succeed, and it could be that it all went to shit.
Yeah.
I think the sale will go through. I think they'll lose the company.
Do you? Okay.
Yeah. But yeah. I think Shiv will get fucked completely. I just don't think...
No, Mattson. There's something about Mattson. We've said it for a few weeks now. There's something not quite right there.
Yeah,
and he's also got shakier and shakier as the episodes have gone on, hasn't he?
Yeah, part of me thinks is Pierce. You know, they're supposed to be buying Pierce at this point.
I mean, if you were Nan Pierce, you'd be like, "Hang on,
it's been a week. You guys haven't called me."
He said $10 bill. Where's my?
I'm surprised they weren't at the funeral.
Yeah,
Naomi, true. Not there.
Yeah.
So I kind of think I do believe that Gojo will acquire.
Okay. All right, interesting. We're going opposite ends. Okay.
Because I think if it ends with them getting the company, I'm like, but then what happens? Why is it ending? What happens next? Like, why is it ending now? You know,
because the story is not about it's not about Waystar. It's about Logan Roy's succession. It's not about how to run a media company with your miserable
kids.
So
you think
kids.
It'll end with them, but the kids won't. They'll always just get in the way. They're like Tom and Jerry. There's always
But that's just like dot dot dot. That's like a parent. Mm. That's just you can take that as read. I think the whole point of the, you know, it's called Succession. The whole it opened up with who's going to be the successor. But it was the, you know, the whole thing in the pilot was Kendall was about to be named as the successor.
Yeah,
and then Logan changed his mind. I think it's just a full circle. I do think it's too tempting for Jesse Armstrong not to tie it up in a very funny and tragic bow, but a bow nonetheless. Mm.
I think also you can make the case that every season finale could have ended the show so far.
Yeah.
They are neat, but they're a bit ragged as well.
Yeah.
The news conference would have been an amazing way to end it. Them all getting like fired last season would have, you know, I think it's going to be very satisfying. I think, you know, we've talked about endings generally. Endings are really hard. And I often feel there's so much to do that I think it's good to not think of endings as the most definitive best part of a show. I think because it's just a good... Having said that, I feel like this is going to be really exciting and really special. And it's been a really special show.
Oh, it's been beautiful. It's been wonderful.
It's been such an intense season, though. And I do think it's been... I think it's right that it's ending.
Yeah.
But...
Okay. Well, 7 days, man. Well, I'll tell you something. A lot of people have already seen it.
Really?
I interviewed, which you'll hear the interview next week, people. I was very pleased, interviewed the stars of a new show called Significant Other, which is coming out on ITVX next Friday, I think. So we'll release that interview next week. And Catherine Parkinson is one of the stars, great actor. Mm-hmm. Obviously friends with Jesse from Peep Show. From Peep Show days, and said, "Oh, what are you up to this weekend?" She said, "Well, I was supposed to be going to the finale screening." I was like, "That was last week. That was last Friday." So Jesse Armstrong hosted a friends, family, cast, and crew screening of the finale last Friday.
I saw someone on Instagram that was at that, but I can't remember who.
Oh.
And I was like, "Where was my invite?"
Wow,
was it in London?
Yeah, it was in London, but it was the finale. So it was going out before before Ep 9. So
that's why he didn't. He knew I wasn't going to have been able to have caught.
Oh no, he asked me if you wanted to go, and I said no. Sorry, was that not?
Oh, okay. If
I said you were having a privacy pussy party pasta night in. He was like, "Chris, are you sure?" And I said, "Yeah, he's quite into his privacy pussy pasta."
Wow, I don't know what to say.
And he said, "Oh, does he still grind his teeth?" And I said, "I just don't know. That's too much information. That's too much."
Yeah, you wouldn't know.
A kinder coochie kirchie. That was the other line from him as well. Anyway, until next week, I'm going to play the outro then because it saves me on my editing time. So, Chris, it's going to be emotional next week. I cannot wait.
It's going to be the last one. It will be the last one. Succession.
If you're with us for Thrones, we'll be back later on this week with episodes 3 and 4 of that, which I'm also looking forward to. And then the week after that is our final Game of Thrones, which we're going to stream live, and we're going to take a bit of time off. We're going to take about a month off, whilst we regroup.
Yeah. And have a clear the air trip to the Caribbean.
Exactly. Until then.
This is the Sound of Succession podcast with Jamie East and Chris Mandel is part of the Dragon Cast series where we talk about the best TV shows in the world. HBO, please don't sue us.
You know what to do, like and subscribe, fuck off.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Want to get a chiseled look in the jawline? Sculpt and shape your jawline with added volume from Juvederm Volux XC. Juvederm Volux XC is an injectable gel specifically designed to be robust enough to improve moderate to severe loss of jawline definition. And it is the first and only hyaluronic acid filler approved for the jawline. Add volume to your jawline for a chiseled look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you. Visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com.